Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you thinking about starting a podcast but don't know where to start? Let me take a second to tell you about Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast across a plethora of listening platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the big ones. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, completely free. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, do yourself a favor and check out anchor.fm or download the app to get started.
Hey everyone, if you're enjoying Inquiries of Our Reality, do me a favor and drop me a review or rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, come join the Discord or Telegram groups for the show. If you haven't already, don't forget to follow me across social media to stay updated on the show. If you'd like to support the show, you can subscribe to my Patreon for just $5 a month, where you will receive early access to Inquiries of Our Reality, Big Dumb Inquiries, and Bizarre Encounters. You can also support the show by donating on Anchor or Ko-fi, which will help me upgrade equipment and hopefully eventually do this full time so I can put out even more awesome content for you guys. If you guys want some t-shirts or other awesome merchandise for Inquiries of Our Reality, Big Dumb Inquiries, or Bizarre Encounters, stop by my Teespring store and get yourself something nice. If you're a creator or a listener, come check out Open Minds Media. We have an awesome community of great people who would love to meet you. From our featured creator podcast feed, to chat rooms, to even help questions, this is the place for you. For more information on the community, the podcast feed, and to stay updated on all the new things coming, check us out on social media, and all their links are available on our link tree. And last but not least, if anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, sponsoring the show, has a topic they want covered on the show, or you feel you can contribute to the show in any way, shape, or form, shoot me a message on social media, or feel free to email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. All the links I mentioned are in the show description. Just tap or click the Linktree link to be directed. Or remember, linktr.ee/inquiriesofourrealitypodcast. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate all of you, and I couldn't be doing this without your support. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything. Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality with Shane Jones.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 55th episode of Inquiries of Our Reality. Today with me, I have a very special guest, somebody that in a million years I'd never thought that I'd get to have a conversation with. He's an actor, comedian, cannabis enthusiast, director, and cancer squasher. The one, the only, legendary Tommy Chong. How's it going, man?
Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Got so many titles, I had to try to fit them all in there for you.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? And I got just one, really. It's Tommy Chong.
True, true. Yeah, you don't even really have to say anything past that. And I'd assume that 99% of the population knows who Tommy Chong is.
Quite a few people do, I'll tell you. Yeah, it's been a beautiful trip. Incredible trip.
I appreciate you making the time to come on the show today, man. And for, I guess, those random little few people that may or may not know who you are, if you want to give a little brief description before we get into your story, I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm just a guy, you know, from Canada, from Vancouver. Well, Vancouver now, but I grew up kind of in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And my mother was Scotch-Irish and Native, which I found out later in life, way later in life. And my dad was Chinese, Cantonese. And I was born in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I was the second son that my mother gave birth to. My oldest brother, Stan, was 4 years, three and a half years older than me. And he passed away a couple of years ago. And I got a sister, Nellie. She's now in her 80s. She's still in British Columbia, Canada. And I've been married with the same lady, second wife, for well over 50 years.
That's awesome.
We've been in love and together. We got married. The way we got together was that she was just a friend of mine. She was a girlfriend of mine, you know, just a neighbor actually. And then we took acid together. It was her first acid trip, my second acid trip, and we made love, and we've been together ever since.
It's crazy, you know, how much of a weird connection you can make through LSD like that, too. Because even coming from myself, too, it's like you feel this extra amount of passion and love for everybody around you. And then if you build a foundation off of that, that's even more awesome. Like, people look at it like it's a negative thing, but I've never seen it that way.
Yeah, I guess there are. Well, you know, negativity, or, you know, is really ignorance. You know, for the most part, it's you don't really understand what's going on, you know, and then you get like a negative thing about it. That's why people were always so scared of marijuana, you know, because of the, you know, the rumors that they had, the lies that they put out, and a lot of people are still following those lies. But here's the epiphany that I was telling you about. I realized just recently, not too long ago, that how necessary evil is in this world. You know, like people, their tendency, you know, when you see people, I never want anybody to go through that again, you know, that kind of phase or phrase that they use once in a while with disasters hit, you know. And yeah, the epiphany I had was that we are living in a physical universe, world, for a reason. And the reason really is that we are here to learn. When I say we, I'm talking about the human experience. We're here to learn. And you can't learn if everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm. See, I've definitely noticed that too, that you can't have good without evil. Otherwise, everything would just be neutral at that point. So nothing's going to get done unless there's an opposing side, unfortunately.
Exactly. And it's resistance, you know, and we live in a physical world. And what I also realized too is that it's an electrical world. See, there's always been electricity. There's never been a time ever when the physical world did not exist. And people always, especially humans always like to have a starting point, you know, in the beginning, you know, when they say, like even the Bible says, in the beginning, you know, God made everything. And I love the scriptures, by the way. I study them all the time because they are the notes that mystics throughout the ages have managed to write down. And by the way, the Bible was never written until they discovered, you know, the printing press and so on. You know, the Bible was always verbal and remembering, you know, stories handed down. Like the oldest religious writings, I think, on the earth is the Bhagavad Gita, which is from India, because India was the birthplace of all religions, you know, where the humans understood what was going on. But the religious teachings have just been handed down. And like I say about the Bible the Bible, especially the Christian Bible, especially. And I come up with a lot of answers. And it's all thanks to, you know, acid, LSD, and marijuana.
See, I'm sure same with Hinduism, too. There's a lot of stuff in there that looks like it's very much so linked to some type of psychedelic effect.
Everything. The plants are there. You know, when the Bible says, you know, be nice to your neighbor, they're not just talking about your human neighbor. They're talking about your plant neighbor, your animal neighbor, your mystic neighbor, you know. Anything beside you is considered like a neighbor. And yeah, I was given a gift. And because I followed the scriptures, you know, not unknowingly, in a way, because we all are, by the way. It's not just me, but I'm one that was chosen, I guess, because of what I've done and what I've been doing. It's kind of enlightening. You know, I'm the guy. There's a lot of spiritual books, you know, and they tell you, don't, you know, even Jesus told the guy that he healed, go tell no one, don't tell anybody, you know. And it was like, instead of why don't you want to tell everybody? You want to tell, instead of from the rooftops. The truth is, you don't have to tell anybody. People will learn just by looking at you, listening to you. You don't have to preach, in other words. You just have to be the example.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will follow the example as opposed to the words. Because even Jesus said that, you know, why do you call me good? There's no one really good except God. You know, I'm just like everybody else. The only difference is that Jesus was given the job of spreading the gospel, you know, freeing the people. And healing the people, because that was the whole point or one of the points of his ministry. You know, that's why he was there, and that's why he died the way he did, because so many people, or you know, the bout or the crazies actually like to consider Jesus as a god, you know. In fact, the Christians call him the Son of God. You know, well, we all are the Son of God. And Jesus said himself, he says, hey, everything I can do, you can do. You know, there's nothing stopping you. You just have to have as much faith as I have. I mean, he never said that, but basically that's what it was. You know, you just have to believe. Because again, in scriptures, they say it shall be according to your faith. Now think about how true that is. That's what I was talking about, truth earlier. That's so true. It will be, your life will be according to what you believe in.
That is very true.
Yeah. And if you believe in evil, if you believe it, that's what your life will be. That's what your life will be. And it's not a wasted life by any means. Not at all. Because what there's nothing, there's no way you can even consider any life at all, any life, wasted. Because if it's life, regardless, it could be in a wheelchair, you know, their whole life, like Stephen Hawking was, you know, but it never stopped him. Mm-mm. In fact, it helped, if anything, because he wasn't, concerned with anything else but thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And that dude thought more intricately than most people could even fathom.
Yeah, of course, because he had time and he had the talent. He was, or that was ordained. That was his thing to do. And so when you see, when I see, and that's the other reason why forgiveness is so important. Because what you're really doing when you say, I forgive someone, is you're accepting the inevitable. And the inevitable is whatever it is, but it's not so much caused by any individual. It's part of the system and the educational, the physical trips that they're going to go through in order to gain enlightenment. There's a Japanese back in, the Japan is very, very special in the spiritual world. So advanced.
Yeah, most of their spirituality has kind of been hidden through history too.
Yeah, for a good reason, you know. I was over in Japan, and it's kind of crazy. I was at one of those Zen gardens, you know, that they had there. And in the middle of the Zen garden is a cross monument, and it's a cross. And it was the Buddhist way of acknowledging the prophet. That's what they considered Jesus. It was a prophet. And that the cross symbolized the Christ movement, the Jesus. And the Japanese were so evolved in so many ways. And even them starting, the war in the Pacific Islands, the Second World War, mm-hmm. when Japan was considered the enemy, they had so many things going for them. I was just watching the sumo wrestler and said, I got hung up on it, man, because I'm watching how evolved these guys were. When you think about it, when you watch sumo wrestling, you know what I see? I see the NFL, because that's really it's a Japanese way ahead of the rest of the world, dealing with obesity, being big and being, physical. And then they pair each other up against each other, and then they fight again. It's like, and the trick is to just to throw the other guy off balance and not to hurt him. You see, there's no violence in the sumo wrestler. There's a ton of violence in a sense of energy, mm-hmm. but there's respect in that. There, you don't have to hurt somebody. You just have to use your power,
Yeah, show your strength.
Think of the NFL. That's what all NFL is, like a lot of sumo wrestlers going at it. Even the
contact of collision too, because they try to go for the bottom and flip them over too. So yeah, even just yeah, in that aspect.
Whatever they can do, slap, boom, whatever, grab, hang on. And but it's evolved. It's so evolved, the genius is mind-boggling, because they eat enormous amounts because they have to in order to get that physique and that body and the weight and all that. It's so crazy, and I'm lucky. I'm so lucky, because I owe it again all to the cannabis plant, because it opened my mind It's when I look at anything, that's why I'm never bored, no matter what it was. You know, when the lockdown came, you know, and there's a lot of people, they're upset. I understand, you know, they're locked into a situation. Or when I went to jail, it was the same thing. I go to jail and everybody was, you know, a lot of like Cheech. Oh my God, that was the worst thing could ever happen to him or to me or anything. You know, he was so deathly afraid of going to prison. One time we got busted in Tampa, Florida, I believe. It was a scam that the promoter had going because what was his name? Jim Morrison had appeared on the same stage and he showed the crowd, he exposed himself. He showed his little wiener.
I remember that one happening too.
And so when Cheech and Chong appeared, they had a $5,000 bond if we had broken the created any kind of thing like that on stage, which we never did. But the promoter wanted to get that extra $5,000, and so he told the cops that, or the cops decided that we were. It's Florida. So they're corrupt. They were going to arrest us regardless of what we did, you know, just for being Mexican. And so they did. We got busted. We went to court. I think we paid a fine, I think, something like that, disorderly conduct. And we never did anything. You know,
of course not. It.
We just did our act. But when we went to prison, I was digging it. You know, I've been to prison before, and it's so exciting and so interesting. You know, I'm a writer, so you're down there with, you're down there with so much material. But Cheech, his dad was a cop, and so Cheech was deathly. At first, because we were together, he was making jokes, and he's a funny, funny guy. And there was a jail, a guard, you know, blonde hair, looked like an Aryan Brotherhood guy. And he was just giving us that look, you know, that jailers give looks. And Cheech started being funny. He was, jail 10B, can we have some pink toilet tissue, please? I'm laughing, Cheech was laughing. And then the same guy comes up. And he says to Cheech, "You come with me." And Cheech's face, he just drained of the blood. He looked at the guy, and then I could hear Cheech on the way out there. Cheech say, "You know, my dad's a cop, you know, LAPD." But anyway, we got out. But, you know, the whole point is, with me, I just ate it up. I loved that experience, you know, of real things. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Calgary, Alberta, we were poor, you know, there's no other way to say it. And so if we had an extra room, and the thing is about poor people, like, you know, like the people that the gardeners and, you know, the workers, you know, the illegals that are here trying not to get busted, you know, working, and they're poor. And they're so if you got any room, if we had a room in the house, well, first of all, we're a family. And so the other poor people would use the family like you do, you know. We took care of foster kids, you know, this woman, you know, come by with her daughter. She couldn't handle the daughter, you know, at the time she had to go make money or whatever. And they're all Chinese, by the way. And so we would get the daughter. We get the 2-3-year-old little Chinese, and they were so sweet, you know, because they're like little dolls, you know. We had, remember, my brother and I, my sister, you know, and my mother. And so we had these little boarders. And then, you know, of course, my dad got paid for taking care of it. And then, so we always had like room for strangers, you know, for people to come in. And so when we moved to the city, we had rent. First of all, we rented the house out to a student. You know, he was a tech student, and we stayed in touch with him, Japanese guy. And then we had an empty bed when he left. We had this empty bed, and so by that time I was like a teenager, you know, and I was kind of hanging out with the bad guys, you know.
Yeah, the wrong crowd.
Yeah, the wrong crowd, and so one of them came up, had nowhere to stay, just got out of prison, and so I thought, yeah, you can stay at my house, and so my house became like a halfway house for guys that get out of prison, which is why they would tell me all these stories of prison, you know, and they were like fascinating stories, incredible stories, and so when I had a chance to go to prison, it wasn't scary at all. It was like, now I'm going to experience it myself, you know. And so that's what I've done. I've always been, and that's again, you know, talking about the truth. You know, I was never in a place in my life where I had to make up anything, because everything that happened to me was like, wow, you know.
Hey, I've always said the meaning to life is experience. And, you know, if you're not willing to have those experiences happen, then, you know, you're not fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing in this life. Just like you were saying with like learning things every day too. That's another experience in this life that you're intended to have, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said about truth, you know, that's what I'm saying. Truth will set you free. You know, I've known people, you know, that never felt comfortable with who they were. And a lot of, for the most part, they were affluent, people that were affluent. Because as I was growing up, my house became like an orphanage. And for a lot of some wealthy people, you know, because there was nothing at their house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My house, there was always breakfast, supper, dinner being made. Because there's a lot of people that had to eat, and a meal time in a poor house is usually an event. You know, you don't wander around with the food in your hand like you do in rich people's homes. You know, the poor people home, you sit down at a table because you're going to share the meal.
I was going to say poor people houses are the ones that it's like they're the ones with the least who are willing to give the most.
Yeah, because why not? Why not? You know, because you're going to feed kids anyway. And so all you do is put extra pasta or whatever it is, you know. And they always had, and we always had it. We always had our food. We always had everything, you know. And a mom and a dad. And not so much my dad. Dad was always gone, but definitely a mom. And so I grew up with my friends. They ended up using my mother. they were actually closer to her than I was, because I traveled, and so I had friends that I grew up with that would stop by and visit my mother, because she was actually their mother. You know, she was the mother figure for a lot of my friends. And so realizing, you know, especially when I started writing books about it, and even thinking about it, and doing podcasts, you know, because the memories that I have are they're just so special.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
my mother was so special, and she had one lung. You know, she got operated on when she had TB. She missed that part where they come up with medicine so they don't have to, you know, take out parts of your body. Mm-hmm. And so she had TB, and so they took out a lung that was infected. And so she spent most of her life just with one lung and bent over, and kind of, you know, and then her and her sister walking down the street one night and got hit by a car and run over, and the guy was all messed up. I shouldn't laugh at this, but it was kind of weird, you know, because
there's my mother
and her sister in a crosswalk, and all of a sudden this guy lost control out of his specially designed car. And he lost control and he ran right over. And but the good news is that the insurance bought us a new house. And so
negative things happening for a reason, man.
Yeah. And my mother survived. She survived. Nothing, you know, it was like, well, another day at the office. And so we moved to a nicer house. And then we still had the borders, because I moved out and my sister was still there. And so, and then by that time, I kind of had a reputation of being, you know, playing music and that. And this one teacher of my sister's, Bill Summers, he moved in the house and again, you know, used my mother as his family. And yeah, and the beat goes on.
Coming from like all the different backgrounds and all these different crazy things that you've seen, what do you feel, coming from like your perspective, has been one of the biggest like issues with society as far as like pulling away from like this truth message that you and I have kind of been talking about? Like, why do you think it's such like a hard thing for people today to be able to find the truth in things and to be truthful to themselves and to like live their lives in a truthful way?
Well, it's all about learning. You know, we're each of us, we're so individual that we all have individual paths. It may look like we're part of the gang, but the truth is, even when you're part of the gang, you are an individual. And there's so many of you that you become a gang. But a gang is made up of individuals. Everybody's an individual. And everybody's here to learn. And the thing is, you got to remember, eternity. That's what I was studying, you know, in my spiritual books, you know, the Bible, and that, you know, there's a couple of commandments that you can dwell on one for eternity, and it's like a key to open up for more information. You know, there's a writer called Emmett Fox, and he writes about a golden key, and the golden key really is being able to acknowledge the spiritual being in another person, because that's how you connect. with soul on soul, you know, that's why they that soulmate comes into to being, you know. What is a soulmate? You know, it could be a wife, could be a mother, could be a father, could be someone that you connect with the soul, and when you do connect, it's like truth coming together, you know, because like with my wife, she was always the missing part of my life that was going to make me evolve or help me evolve. She was that observer that said, you know what, if you do this or you do that, you know, why don't you, you know? And I eventually got her doing stand-up comedy with me, because when Cheech and I broke up, you know, I was really devastated for a while there, because he was my guy, you know.
For people that don't know, what was the reason for that?
The breakup?
Yeah.
Again, it was inevitable. I had to keep evolving. He had to keep evolving. And when we met together, we had that common thing to do it together. You know, we couldn't do it individually. And when we got together, boom, we created this powerful comedy, because comedy is all about truth.
Honestly, yeah. But it's finding the truth in normal everyday situations and then making light out of it.
It's all about truth. Because when you, it's the aha moment, you know, that aha. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about that aha moment, the gotcha moment, you know. And what happened is that we accomplished everything we could accomplish as Cheech and Chong. Now, it was time for me to go on my own. It was time for Cheech to go on his own, follow his path, because we accomplished the Cheech and Chong thing. You see? And if we were to keep doing it, we would have destroyed it. It would have destroyed because everything comes in, I think, 7-year increments. You know, there's a movie called The 7-Year Itch. And it's like every 7 years, things change. And that's what happened with Cheech and I. You know, we got together, we had 7 years of recording and performing, and then we had another close to 7 years of movie making. And then it was time for me to go on my own. It was time for Cheech to go on his own. And which he did, and which I did. And then we got back together again because of my son, you know. That's how we got back together again. When we broke up, it was more Cheech. There was more, Cheech was more than just a Chicano with a mustache, you know, and being very funny. You know, that was just part of it, part of his whole persona. As we found out, and he ends up being a world-renowned Chicano art collector, you know, with his own museum. And me, I had so much to say, as you can tell. you gotta wait till I wind down, you know, and, because I have so much to say that even when we get together now, I have a problem because I do have so much to say. And I'm not, you know, I learned how to say it, you know, doing stand-up. I had no problem. I have no problem talking and musing because that's how I learned too. You know, that's what, you know, stand-up comedy really is therapy.
Yeah, honestly, it's a good way to vent and also make other people not feel so alone because they can relate to the things you're saying.
And to explore truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's all comedy really is. It's truth, you know. And that's what I tell people too, you know. It's that you can't be unhappy when you're laughing. You know, you can't be moody. You can't be depressed. You can't laugh and be depressed at the same time.
It's a good break from it. If you're depressed and you can get somebody to have a good laugh, you can pull them right out of it.
That's what I say. It's the climax at the end of making love.
Mm-hmm.
First time I ever made love, that was the thing I did after I was finished. I laughed. And the girl was kind of embarrassed. She thought I was laughing at her. I wasn't. I was just so happy because finally, I don't have to lie about that anymore.
Honestly, though, that's what it is, what it comes down to. And not to jump topics onto another thing, but I really wanted to ask you about it, considering that you were a cancer survivor. Like, what's your opinion on how big pharma deals with cancer versus what you may think actually may be like a cure to get over it and get past cancer?
Well, cancer, it's again, you know, it's something that humans have been struggling with since the beginning of humans. And the Chinese, by the way, the Chinese figured out a cure thousands of years ago. You know, they knew how to cure. You know what the medicine was? Cannabis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The first recorded use that we know of in cannabis was ancient Chinese.
It's cannabis.
Yep.
And that cured so many. The Chinese were so evolved, you know, and I was kind of contemplating on it, you know, because the way China is now, you know, with the communists and the, you know, the way they are, you know, and then I kind of realized that, well, that Captain, come here. He always barks at the gardeners. Are you barking or are you talking Latino to them? You talking Mexican to them? I think he's, because he's wagging his tail and barking at him too.
No, he's like, I'm just speaking to him. I promise you, I'm not yelling at him.
No, I'm talking about the Chinese, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they are super evolved race. And so, you know, we're looking at the American future, too, when you look at it. Because the Chinese have come up with a way of governing millions and millions of people. And yeah, they get a lot of flack for, you know, doing what they did, say during the pandemic was a good example. There was no debate whether we should mask up or not. You know, the Chinese said, yeah. You either mask or you get them, or you're done. You
know, even now like, with the vaccine passports.
Just like they do with the drug problem there, you know. You deal with drugs, okay, you're dead. Boom. Then, shoot you, you know, you're a drug addict, okay, you're down. And see the humans, I mean, the Americans are the, you know, the free, so-called free world, you know, they're always worried about people's rights, like a bunch of the abortion thing, you know, and now this district attorney is going to go after the doctor that performed the abortion on the 10-year-old. To see if he had permission. I mean, that's why I love comedy so much. Because if you take any of this shit serious, man, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you got to make light out of a dark situation. Otherwise, what do you have left at that point?
When I hear about, you know, and everything the Republicans are doing now, you know, just cracks me up. And the thing is, I can't discuss this with my wife, my son, or anybody, because I see the humor, you know, and in the serious situation. It's serious, you know. But when you think about what the Republicans are doing, they're really, you know, Donald Trump is going, he's spiraling down, and Republicans are all hanging on to him because if they let go, they're going to disappear. And if they hang on, they're going to disappear. So either way, you know, they might as well hang on to the guy and just go down with him.
Or, yeah, honestly.
I don't know. Because it's a moment of truth, you know, because I totally understand Trump. And let me tell you about Trump. Trump was really just a poor ass hustler in New York, you know, that failed at everything he did, you know. But because he failed upwards, because he's a good looking man, and women are attracted to him, and a lot of guys are attracted to him too, you know. For a lot of reasons, you know, he's got a lot of balls, and he'll say what he means, you know, that kind of thing. But he is honestly stupid, you know, because he's not educated. And the reason he's stupid is very simple. He's a liar. See, liars, the curse of a liar, and there is a curse. The curse of a liar is that they cannot believe anybody else. Because they lie and they figure everybody else lies. That's why he made up shit about Biden, you know, Biden being a pedophile, Biden being, you know, that's why Trump's theory is that Biden is so lame that there's no way he could beat Trump in anything, let alone an election. And so Trump's theory is that even if he loses, there must be a reason, because, you know, if any serious person look at Biden and look at Trump and say, okay, who do you think is going to win in anything? And the way Trump plays golf too, he cheats. You see, if you cheat at golf, stay home. Don't waste energy, because the whole idea of golf is to see how few strokes it takes to get around a course. And the only way you can do that is by being honest.
And it's like lying to yourself too, because you're just pulling away from your own things that you're doing if you're willing to lie about your golf score.
That's so if you did shoot something spectacular, like a hole in one, it doesn't matter because you would have said you did it anyway. So you negated, you just sort of like neutered any advance that you may able to do. That's why these rich people are so unhappy with their life. That's why I've got a lot of Trumpy friends. And the reason they're friends of mine is because of my reputation. You know, I'll go to a restaurant, you know, people, oh, there's Tommy, you know, how are you doing? You know, you mean so much to me, blah, blah, blah. You know, the richest men in the world can walk down the street and no one will recognize them. And then if they recognize them, they say, oh, so you're rich, eh? So what else you got going? You know, what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so these, so this is what makes me laugh about the whole thing, is that everything that the Democrats want, they're getting everything, and they're smart enough to know that in order to get everything, they got to keep looking like they're not getting anything, because yep. The thing with what Trump said. This election is rigged. And so many Republicans that would have voted for him said, why vote? You know, it's rigged.
Mm-hmm.
So you stop the thing. See, if you deal with truth, which Trump had to do was deal with truth. And look what his genius is. He has genius. There's no doubt about it. There's a part of him that he can do things like, for instance, demolish a building.
He can also control a crowd with his speech. Everybody I've known that said that they've talked to him said he has a way of just coming into a room with his presence and being able to control a group of people. So just even off of that, that's a stroke of genius too.
Absolutely. But the trouble is he doesn't respect them. And the reason he doesn't respect them is that he doesn't respect himself. You see, if you think about Trump, he's always worried about what other people think of him. See? So therefore, everything's a lie. His hair's a lie. His looks a lie. His golf thing. You know, he's probably not a bad golfer. You know, a good athlete. But he lies. And so instead of trying to dig out a bad shot, he'll just kick the ball into a better place, you know? And that stops the miracles from happening.
Yep.
You see? Because the whole thing about golf is being able to take a bad shot and then making it honestly and having faith in your own ability.
Yeah, turning something good into something bad. And having that ability
to
do so.
The whole point, you're creating, you see. And I've known people, you know, that they could create, but they don't because they don't believe they have the talent. They don't have the faith. And like I said earlier, you know, it's according to your faith, you know, as you move up the thing, you know, as we evolve, as we learn. Like, for instance, if you go to school, and this is one of the things about Trump, you go to school and you don't learn. You're just there, you know, and then you have someone else do your test for that. And you come out of there and you got a degree. That degree is worthless. It's worthless because you lied to get it. You don't have those abilities.
Yeah, you get thrown into the situation and it'll show pretty quick that you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And it can be deadly. And especially if you're president of the United States and you start telling people that you can cure COVID with Lysol. You know, because Trump honestly said, well, if it kills, if you spray it and it kills, why not spray inside the body?
I think that was one of the best things that I got out of that was spray Lysol.
and the doctors, they buried their head like this here. I laughed, man. I laughed. It was crazy. It was loud. And so he's his own worst enemy. He has no idea, you know, of the power that he let he just, because of a lie, all because of a lie. And you look at all the followers, you know, they're, once you get caught in a lie, you know, or a lie, and by the way, criminality is a lie. You know, when you're stealing, that's lying, because you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You're taking things that don't belong to you, you see. And if it's credit or money or physical works or a country, mm-hmm. you know, because everything is fluid, everything moves, everything changes, you know. And I was, for instance, talking about Tibet. Now, the reason I got spiritual, evolved spiritually, was because of a book called The Third Eye. And it was about a Tibetan, reincarnated Tibetan that came back as an Englishman. And he, but he had the knowledge of the Tibetan spiritual leaders, you know, the Dalai Lamas. And so he, but he came back as an Englishman, and he wrote a book as an Englishman. He wrote this book called The Third Eye. If you want to check it out, it's by T. Lobsang Rampa, and it's called The Third Eye. Well, that changed my life. That changed me, because he, in his book, he teaches how the Dalai Lamas come back. They're reincarnated, and mm-hmm. they come back. And they can tell that it's a Dalai Lama, because as their babies, they bring toys to the Dalai Lama. As when the earlier version of the Dalai Lama, that was his favorite toys. And so he dies, he comes back as a baby, and they put the toys in front of all the different babies that they think could be the one it is. And then the one that reaches out and grabs the toys, they go, okay, let's pay attention to him. And they find the reincarnated Dalai Lama.
Don't they do that for a lot of people to begin with too, to try to figure out who they were in a past life? Like a lot of families will do that tradition where they'll place a bunch of things down and see what they pick up. And then they'll kind of push them along that life path. Like if they pick up a pen, for example, they'll kind of push them towards a life path of being a writer. Or, you know, if they pick up like, just different things, depending on what the life path is, you know?
Yeah. And if it happens with the Dalai Lama, it happens with every human.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why the Dalai Lama is special other than they wanted the leader, you know? And if you look at what the Chinese did, they just said to the Dalai Lama and that, okay, we're not going there anymore. We're going to, you know, but that knowledge doesn't disappear. You know, it evolves, you know, they take the scrolls and everything else and they go further into the mountains, you know, and they keep their lifestyle going, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I found out is that because that's eternity is real, and we are trapped in eternity. In fact, Joel Goldsmith, my other writer that I study, you know, he's got a book called A Parenthesis in Eternity. And that's what we are. You know, we're in the middle of eternity right now. Mm-hmm. You know. And that's what we are, and that's why we're talking about it, because we have that ability, you know. And this whole thing, when you do learn the truth, then you don't have to manufacture. You don't have to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if Trump had it, just went with his talent of a builder, for instance, because, you know, but he's such a scam artist. He has no idea of what he, the chance that he once had. Because he lies, and because the trouble is too with liars is that they know they're lying, and if they get other people convinced that they're telling the truth, then they have no respect for them, and that's why they can rob people.
They're always chasing that path too of when you're a liar, you always have to cover your tracks, because
at some point, the truth's going to try to show itself through. And it's a harder life to live being a liar, because then you're always trying to make sure that path is covered. So you're just making your life significantly harder by being a liar.
Totally, totally. And unnecessary. Unnecessary. You know, there's so many, especially when you lie, because what you're trying to do is impress everybody. And in jail, crack me up, you know. Because what I learned too is that you don't challenge the holy shit, you got the gardeners working here, and I haven't been able to see him, so I can tell him to shut the fuck up. But
I'll say I heard some crashing and booming in the background.
Oh, there's all sorts of things going on. Oh, hold on.
A few moments later.
Well, so much for that one. they're not going to listen.
Worth a try, though. Well, I guess to hop back into it, too, since we've been talking about truth this whole time. One thing I always like to bring up on my show is, I guess people like to label them as conspiracies. But what's some things that you like to follow that you believe is like a conspiracy that's trying to be hidden from the people, I guess you could say?
Well, just a minute, let me close that door anyway. We need that side of we need the liars. Why do we need liars? We need everything has an opposite, you know. So what's the opposite of a liar? Truth tellers. Mm-hmm. And so there's a balance there. Now, if everybody told the truth, there would be no there would be no learning to do, you know.
It's like the law of duality. You need the negative to have the positive, like yin and yang almost too.
Yeah, well, think about it. The reason Jesus appeared on the planet, and there's many, many healers, many prophets. The reason they appear is that the world needs them at that particular time in order to keep evolving, to keep, you know, showing the way. We're guides. And that's what I like about some of the books they call spiritual guides. Because we're not the owner. We're the guide. We'll take you on these trips. That's what comedy does. Comedy, comedians take people on a trip through life, showing all the funny things, that just like musicians take them on and showing all the joys of the music and the timing and everything. Artists take you on visually, they take him on it. And the one thing that all connects them all is cannabis for the most part, because cannabis really is a truth seeker, you know. Because when people I've been with people, you know, that are, you know, opinionated and everything else, you know, and they'll say, I don't touch that stuff. I tried it once and I started having crazy thoughts, and I started, you know.
I think that's what it comes down to too, is that people are afraid to let something else like take control. They just have to control everything, so they just freak out.
That's what I'm saying. No, I don't want to learn. You know, I don't want to go there. I can't go there. You know, because because they're in the middle of doing something else. You know? And that's why they used to say, or they still do, you know, that cannabis, marijuana is like a gateway drug. It's a gateway to heroin and everything. It is. It is, because if you're a junkie and you're looking to get high, you might start off with a joint, but that's not enough. I need to, you know, stick a needle in my arm and then get close to death and die. You know, hey, no, that's a real drug. I've seen junkies get pissed off because they bought what they thought was really killer drugs, and they never died, and so they got robbed.
That method of thinking is crazy to think about. Like, you're robbed because you didn't almost die? That's horrifying that somebody even thinks that way.
But you see what they're saying? They were trying to die. That's why suicide, a lot of people, you know, the average person goes, oh no, there's a suicide hotline, we got to stop these people. Well, the Japanese, they call it harikari, I think it's called, where they kill themselves. If they did the smallest little thing, if they dishonored someone, they would take a knife and kill the most painful way to kill them. was a knife in the gut. They pull it across, and then they would die within a few minutes because they know they're going to die. They're going to go to the spirit world. They're going to regroup. They're going to figure out another warrior or body or whatever, you know, to come back in and do it again. It's eternity. We've always been here. We'll always be here. We just have to, and a few of us, like us, like you, like me, curious, you know, what is eternity? Mm-hmm. What happens if you do follow the scriptures, you know? Was there really a Jesus? And then with me, what I've been doing lately, and I got to watch myself because, you know, I don't like to step on toes, you know, but I know that when you evolve and you learn things, the one thing I haven't learned, I haven't really gotten down yet, is to shut the fuck up, you know, because I've been given this talent of being able to figure out, you know, what's going on. But then even with my friends, well, with my family too, you know, I can't have this discussion. That's why I love doing these podcasts, because I get a chance to go to that area. You know, for the most part, you know, you got to let people find out for themselves. That's what I mean about spoiler alert. You know, I helped an actor the other day, a friend of mine, and he was troubled. And then I realized I could have a conversation with him and I could turn him onto the books, you know. By the way, if you want to check it out, this is the Joel S. Goldsmith. That's the author. That's one of the authors I read. And then the other one is Emmett Fox. I don't have his book right now. But between the two, and then, like I told you about T. Lobsang Rampa, The Third Eye, you know, they tell you, evolved, the ones that evolved. By the way, jazz musicians, to me, are the most evolved creatures on the planet. And the reason I say that is because the music is a eternal thing. You know, there's always been music. There's always been that C note.
Yeah, as long as we can make it sound, there's been music.
There's always been music, and it's always had a pitch. And there's never been a time when we never had music. There's always been music, sound. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was a word. And in the beginning means in the beginning of our ability to understand the intellect and to be able to convey that, say, in a book. You know, you read the Bible with Emmett Fox, by the way, he will tell you the secrets of the Bible and what it meant. You know, for instance, Jesus never wanted his followers to create a religion.
Yeah, that's another good one that gets overlooked.
He just wanted his followers to learn how to heal, like doctors. And that's what he wanted them to do. He didn't want them to preach. He didn't want him to, you know, do what these guys are doing, you know, at all. And that's why during the pandemic, churches were closed. Why? Because when you gather humans together with the pandemic, you're going to get infected. And you're going to get sick. But you know what was open? Pot shops.
Yep. That's how I was going to say, coming from somebody that works in the cannabis industry also. Yeah, that was like our top time when we were making the most money was during the pandemic and everybody was locked up.
And it wasn't about making money. What it was is about servicing people, the medicine to the people that need it. Mm-hmm. When we got cannabis legal because of the medical thing, to me, that was a victory. To me, I said, that makes so much sense. Why? Well, because the medicine when you, in order to get cannabis, you had to go to a doctor and get permission from the doctor. To me, that was genius, genius. Because the doctor would just look at some guy, you know, and go, come here, let me take your temperature. Let me, you know what I mean? Let me, there's something, you know, okay, you got this or you got that, or you should take there, you know, you should check out your blood pressure, anything, you know. Mm. But instead, the greedy bureaucrats, they want to be able to control like they did with alcohol, you know, see, and they can't do that. You know, they're trying to do it, and it's kind of screwing with the industry in a kind of a minor way. Because again, if you lie, no matter what the lie is, it will bite you. It's not good to lie. You know, and if you're selling weed out of the back door, you know, trying to cheat the government or something, you know, it's gonna come back on you somewhere, somehow. You know, it's not good. And then you get people that are doctoring, messing with the plant itself, you know, mixing it with other stuff, trying to do what they did with tobacco. See, at one time, tobacco was healthy.
Yeah, and it was a spiritual plant.
At one time, the doctors say it calmed everything, you know. Tobacco, the real plant from the, you know, the tobacco plant, not necessarily that plant alone, but when the natives smoked, there was no cigarettes with nicotine stuck in it, you know. No, it was herbs. And for the most part, a lot of it was pot. You know, that when they put in the pipe. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the history of the peace pipe, for instance, the reason they call it the peace pipe was that when the tribes got together, they made everybody smoke out of the pipe. And the pipe was loaded with stuff. And once you took a toke of that pipe, it knocked you down. You had to sit down. you were incapable of being able to stab someone or beat them or something, you know. That was the whole point of that's why they called it a peace pipe.
Calm everybody down and make them talk rationally.
That's right. But they never had nicotine in that pipe. You see, they had the pure, the good herbs, you know, and that's what I found out with the cannabis industry. There's factions, you know, trying to manipulating that, and that's why a lot of scam artists, they come along the cannabis industry and they, oh, you know, they like in Canada, you know, they, you know, I knew Canada was messed up because the first thing they did when they legalized it in Canada was make it impossible for celebrities like myself to put our brands out there. You know, they said no celebrity endorsements, you know, not at all. So Canada's not that big a market for us, and so we're kind of in there, but we're kind of under the radar, you know. It's called Tommy's Craft, they call it, but it doesn't matter because eventually they'll come around. But that's what I mean, you know, the greed of the human being. That's why we got wars going on now, you know? But we'll always have wars. This is a physical universe, and there'll always be wars. Think about it. The advances in medicine, you need sick people and crippled people and healthy people, not just people that are going to die because their time is up. But, you know, like the Civil War, when they had the Civil War, that's when they discovered morphine and heroin, you know, that was a painkiller. Because of the carnage that was developed there. So in the physical world, we're always going to have this, you know. And like I say, the road to happiness is seeing the humor, finding the humor. And
think about how much truth you can get out just too from making it a humor situation where somebody may not normally understand what's happening, but if you're able to make a joke out of it and make light out of it, you can make a lot of people understand a situation that they may not understand and then bring some light to it, you know?
Yeah. And then knowing the other thing I told James, a friend of mine, the actor, you know, it's harder to be depressed when you're helping somebody else. you know.
And they try to pull people away from that for a reason, I'm sure. Because yeah, they try to make it so you're scared to help people nowadays, because they try to make it seem like everybody's out to get you in some way, shape, or form, you know?
Yeah, you just got to be able to ignore that. Be careful how you, this is what I tell people too. And this is what I've been working on too, is trying to control my thoughts. You know, and a marriage is a really good place to experiment with your thoughts, because it's a thought that propels everything, you know. And if you control your thoughts, like comedians do, you know, you just see the humor, and that's all you see, and then you take stuff, you know, tragedies or whatever, and you find the humor in it, you know. But you got to be very careful. It's called timing, by the way. There are certain times when you should not say something funny when the situation is ready more for the mourning or the sadness that comes with the loss, say, of a loved one, you know. But if you, like, for instance, I quote this once in a while. When Saddam Hussein was being hung, was being executed, there was a guy heckling him in the audience, or, you know, the gallery where they're watching being hung. And Saddam looked at him and said, "Hey, watch, I'll show you how a real man dies." I thought, yeah, he got the last word in, man. That was so cool.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess starting to kind of wrap stuff up a little bit, I always like to do words of wisdom from the guest to the listener. So if you had anything that you could bestow on the listeners, what would it be?
Think before you speak. A lot of times we say the wrong thing because we say it too fast. Timing. Really think. There's so many books on Zen. There's a book called The Zen of Golf. And one of the ways to recover from a bad shot or even a good shot is to count to 10 before you even approach your next shot. And if people did that while they're in discussion, say with their kids or with anybody, just think, pause. This is what I learned getting older, you know. I'm a grandfather, no, great grandfather. And one of the things that happened to grandfathers is that people don't really listen to us because they were considered, you know, old and, you know, feeble or whatever.
Yet the most wise, in my opinion.
Yeah, but if you can kind of pull out that grandfather thing. Because what we do, and this is what I learned too, is that now, because we're not relevant in the sense like my son is with his kids. I'm grandpa. So grandpa doesn't have to carry heavy shit anymore. Grandpa doesn't have to do anything but be grandpa, you know, maybe drive him somewhere, sit in the car with him. That's one of my jobs. Hug him. That was, I love my job. My girls, my granddaughters get out of the pool and they need a hug because they're cold, and wrap them up in a towel and give them a nice, big, strong hug. And they need that. Mm-hmm. People need hugs. And the way this, our first manager, Lou Adler, once had a nightclub called the Roxy, and he had a private club called Top of the Rocks. Now, he had book of matches, and written on the matches was a phrase, living well is the best revenge. And I would ponder on that, you know, because I never did fit in with that club. I mean, Cheech and I helped him get a club, you know, to the point where it was very successful in that, you know, but I never got a membership to that club. And when I would go to that club, it would be like, there would be a hesitation, you know. And the reason was, is that it was a club of guys that had got very successful, but they didn't, it was as if they did, it was like a fuck you kind of attitude, you know. And that's where they got the living well, means, hey, I got the champagne, I got the big car, I got the houses, I got everything. And it's like, hey, living well is the best revenge.
Versus being humble, you know? That's probably why you didn't fit in. It's a matter of being humble, you know?
What it is that they isolated them. They isolate themselves. And that's what wealthy people do. And a lot of it is, you know, because of cocaine here now, you get paranoia. Paranoia, because that's a curse of someone that has a lot of wealth. Is now everybody's trying to steal it from you, and you know it, you know, because that's basically how you got the wealth, is that you stole from other people in some way or another, you know. And so they're paranoid, you see. It's a trap, you see. That's why biblically speaking, they said, you know, if someone steals your coat, give them your shirt too. Do you want the shirt? Don't be afraid to give to other people. And the reason is that's a secret. See, that's a secret. And once you learn the secret, then the rewards are so crazy. That's why Warren Buffett is so wealthy, because he gives that wealth away where it's needed. And it's not about showing off the big boat or showing off the big house or anything. Warren Buffett lives in the same little green on green house that he had before he made his zillions. And he drives this old pickup truck or whatever. He never changed his happy way of living because, and when you do, that's a trap. Mm-hmm. The I Ching, is it the I Ching? Yeah, the Book of Changes. They consider winning a lottery as a misfortune.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Because it gives you a burden, you know, and if you don't, money is a tool, and it can devour you. It can devour you with fear of losing. And think about it, for the most part, people don't see money. It's in the bank. It's written on a paper or on your phone.
And I mean, like even so, it's a piece of paper that we just say has value. It doesn't have value past us saying it has value.
And you can only eat so much, and you can only drink so much. You can only wear one outfit at a time, one pair of shoes at a time. You know, do you need 50 pairs of shoes like I got? No, you don't. And it would be better off you give those shoes to someone that needs them, you know? Mm-hmm. See, that's the secret. And if you know the secret, but we all have to earn. There's a thing about earn while you burn. That's what I call smoking. If you smoke to do art or to write or to perform or something like that, all the forces, the creative forces, will be there for you, you know. And sickness, by the way, is also a learning tool. That's why we live in a physical world, you know. And you can't be perfect. And even if you are perfect, it's not going to help, you know. I've known who's that writer, the runner, you know, that wrote a book about running and everything. And he dies of a heart attack from running.
So that's irony at its finest.
So, you know, that's what I said in the beginning about the power of truth. And that's what the scriptures say, you know. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So true. I can live by that. And because when you know the truth, whether you share it, doesn't matter. You know it. Mm-hmm. That's all. And when you get older, like me, a lot of times, you just sit back. Like watching my little 2-year-old, granddaughter, she stumbles around, but you got to let her fall. You got to get her bruised. And you got to, smack her head once in a while. And then she'll learn not to do that shit.
Coming from somebody like me too, I was one of those kids that I had to learn things for myself too. So a lot of the times it's like, you do have to kind of let your kids fail, but you have to be there to pick them up after they fail, but they have to fail in order to be able to build past that and actually learn something.
That's exactly it. The hugs after the pool. That's the greatest thing about being a grandpa. They come in. My little granddaughter, their kids are so aware of vibrations, like animals too, you see. And I've evolved to the point where I know, because I'm a seeker of truth and a seeker of love, because that's what truth is too. That's what love is. Love is just unconditional, And when you feel yourself with love and loving things and loving thoughts, very, very important. My buddy I was talking about, he was suffering from depression. And so I told him, I said, is it the loop? And he said, what do you mean? I said, that loop of memories that they keep going over and over in your head? And he said, yeah, it was. I said, well, then just change the reels. Mm-hmm. Change the reels. And that's why art is so important, doing art. Because once you do art or music or any creative endeavor, all of a sudden you hook up with the art spirits, They're there. They're always hovering around you, And like, for instance, I get requests from fans all the time. I was doing little sketches because I was practicing my animation, and so I was doing sketches, and then now I get inundated with requests for my sketches, and this is one of the sketches they did. Can you read that?
I forgot what I was protesting against, but I will remember.
So, you know what I mean? That's the humor. The humor is so liberating. That's how people say, how'd you get through the Trump thing? Because I was very animate because I saw what Trump was doing. I saw the writing on the wall, and then especially when he went against Mexicans, when he came up with that speech about they're bringing drugs or bringing violence, and it was creating an enemy that in the meantime, and they're working at my golf course and they're taking care of my kids, and then these terrible Mexicans they're helping the economy, and if we didn't have the cheap labor, we wouldn't have the lifestyle that we have now. And
he was planning on having them build the wall he was intending to make too. That was the even funnier part about it. And he was like, they're going to pay for it too.
Well, it was a big scam. It still is a big scam. And what I wanted, and what they're fucking with the wall now, humor. There's a lot of things. Anyway, I got to go.
Oh, for sure. So I guess to start wrapping up to finish up the show, is there anything that you'd like to promote before you get going?
Uh, Yeah, I was going to do protest about something, but I forgot what it was. I'm going to start a club called the Procrastinators of America, but I haven't got around to it yet. I'll get there eventually. But no, not really. You know, any Tommy Chong product. I've been doing a lot of CBD oil to help you sleep. And I use it. I use it. And it does. And I sleep in sometimes. In fact, my wife will say, boy, you slept in a long time, didn't you? Because we got separate bedrooms now. Because, you know, the secret of a good wife, a good marriage, is separate TVs, separate televisions. So I can watch sports and she can watch Housewives of wherever, you know.
I've seen that too. That's the truth of it too. I'll be watching some crazy conspiracy stuff or whatever shows I want to watch. And then my girlfriend likes to watch her dramas and all that. So honestly too, it does work out a lot better when both can kind of have their own area to do their own thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like the sports. I love everything, and I'll except I cannot get into the Housewives of Beverly Hills. I cannot. I guess it's because I'm a very sexual person. You know, I always have been. You know. Some people, and when you got to be careful when you're older, because then you get called not a pervert, but a leech, you know, or you know, a creepy yeah. old man. I have a hard time. I remember one time I was on the ferry in Vancouver, coming from Vancouver Island. This is many years ago, about 20, 30 years ago, and I was a photographer. I like to take pictures. And there's a little area where the kids are playing, you know. Kids are beautiful, you know. And I was in there taking pictures. And then this one lady come up and she goes, sir, you're making me very uncomfortable. And I said, why? She says, well, you just are. And then I realized I got this old man overcoat kind of thing. And I'm an old guy and I got these pictures. And if you think that way, you know, right away I look like an old pervert, you know. And so I said, oh, sorry about that. And then after that, you know, no more little kids pictures, but except my own. And even then, you know, the perception, you know, people look at you.
Yeah, because people perceive things the wrong way. They always try to choose to perceive the worst possible scenario before they try to look at it from like a lighter perspective.
Yeah, and the truth is, you in your heart, you know. I mean, I was just watching the news about the 10-year-old being raped, and you know, having to have an abortion. And it was so crazy because all the Republicans, oh, that's a lie. Oh, they made that shit up. See, the curse of a liar is that they can't believe anybody else. They can't believe that someone wouldn't lie about. You know, that's a mess. What? You're going to lie about a 10-year-old getting raped? Duh. You know, and then the guy got arrested for it. And what did they say? Oh, the guy was undocumented. In other words, right away, oh, it's not because abortion's illegal. It's because the guy is undocumented. You know, oh, not one of those crazy Mexicans. I mean, it's so crazy. But then again, you know, it's another curse. It's another Trump curse because he said he was going to get rid of he was going to drain the swamp in Washington. And he's doing it. Now what he's doing is he's identifying all the swamp animals. And so there's a whole lot of people when Trump goes. And he will go. And I'm guessing, you know, you can hear it first on your show here is that my guess is that they'll put him in Guantanamo prison. That's where Trump is going to do his time.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I may be wrong, but it seems perfect.
Yeah, it does. To try to prove a point, too.
He's got to be exiled. He's got to be exiled. Because that's how you treat, defeated enemies, that have that kind of a following, like Napoleon did. You know, he got Elba and trouble get Guantanamo. And if they're nice, and they probably will be, put a golf course or in the place, so you can play golf.
Specially built golf course.
Okay, dude.
But yeah, I guess I appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully we can do this again in the future. And just thanks again for making the time, man.
Anytime, dude, you need me, I'll be there.
I'd be more than happy. To all the listeners that enjoyed the conversation, I'm glad you stuck around, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.